It's good to be with you, and on the Lord's Day we can meet as the people of God and encourage one another in the things of God. Thank you, Simon, for leading us so far in our meeting, and it's good that we can just receive of the Lord. Yeah, we're here to receive of God, and as Simon mentioned in his prayer, we've come with lots of different needs this morning, but our God can meet each and every one of those needs. We're going to be considering the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. People ask, what is in a name? Years ago, Guernsey would have postmen delivering letters. These days, those important people are called posties. Now, a postie actually sounds a bit like a cross between one of those little bits of paper you stick on a computer, a post-it, and one of my favourite meals from Cornwall, a pasty. But a postie. Why a postie? Well, I guess a postie is an attempt to find an inclusive term that includes both males and females. This morning we're going to continue in our series in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 4, and we're looking at how we've heard already from the Word of God how Peter addressed the Sanhedrin and how he referred specifically to the name of Jesus. Now, Christianity was growing in popularity. There was quite a stir in the air, simply because of all the attention that Jesus was receiving. And an amazing thing was happening in Jerusalem. Amazing. Thousands of people were coming to Jesus Christ. The city was being turned upside down. People were turning from their Jewish beliefs to embrace this man named Jesus Christ. A couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 2 and 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." 3,000 people coming to Christ in one single day. In Acts 4, we read earlier in verse 4, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So thousands of people are coming to Christ. And all of this was upsetting the religious leaders. And after the second of these two events, two of the ringleaders, Peter and John, were arrested, and they were called to give an account of their actions. What were they doing? Because according to the leaders, these men were promoting a radical new message. Last Sunday, Simon was in chapter 3, and he shared how Peter and John were going into the temple to worship. And it was at the time of the evening sacrifice, probably around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they passed through the beautiful gate, they met a crippled man, and he had been lying there, and he was there and he was begging, hoping that a few coins would come his way from the people heading into the temple to worship. And instead of giving this man a few coins and passing by, Peter takes him by the hand and heals him in the name of Jesus Christ. And when the people knew that this was the lame man And seeing this man leaping about, jumping about, and praising God, they inquire as to what's going on. And Peter seizes the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And while he is preaching, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, they come to the scene to see for themselves what is happening. What is all the fuss about? And then they hear Peter preaching about Jesus, whom they had crucified, and they're livid. And they hear Peter claiming that Jesus has risen from the dead. And they're absolutely beside themselves. They're furious. And so they arrest the two preachers. But the message had already been delivered, and 5,000 men were saved by the grace of God that day. And after spending the night in jail, Peter and John are brought before the council to explain their actions. And we're told in verse 7, the question is asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Friends, that was not the right question to ask a spirit-filled preacher. And that question opened up the door for Peter to give it full on about what Jesus was all about. And part of the answer that Peter portrayed to these men was specifically about the name of Jesus Christ. I made some Bible markers for you this morning, and hopefully each one of you have got one of these. If you don't want to use it as a Bible marker, it's got the name of Jesus on the bottom. If you don't want to use it as a Bible marker, you can hang it somewhere, just to remind you that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's four things this morning we're going to look at about the name of Jesus, and the first one tells about his personality. What's in a name? Well, the personality of Jesus is written in his name. Without even realizing it, every time the name of Jesus is mentioned, his glory is revealed. Just the mention of his name tells us so much about him. And the double name of our Lord, Lord Jesus, I didn't look it up, but scholars tell me it's referred 256 times in the New Testament. And it tells of his dual nature of his name and glory. The first part, the name of his humanity, Jesus. The name means Jehovah is Savior. It is equivalent to the Old Testament name of Joshua. It's a name that identified Jesus with his humanity. The name Jesus was a common name in the days where this story was recorded. Jesus knew human sorrow and disappointment and frustration and all the things that we feel as we live our lives. Jesus lived in poverty. In Matthew 8 and verse 20, we read this. And Jesus said this of himself, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The name of Jesus is a name that thrills the soul of the believer. The hymn says, "All that soul thrills my soul is Jesus, a name where devils tremble, a name that gains access to the throne of God, a name that moves mountains, a name that convicts a sinner, a name that opens a door to the blessings of God, a name above every other name. There's something special about the name of Jesus. But also, it's the name of his honor. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, meaning anointed one or chosen one. Christ is his title, signifying that Jesus was sent from God to be a king and a deliverer. Jesus Christ means Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the anointed one. And we know by reading history that ancient Israel thought that their Messiah would one day come with military might to deliver them from decades of captivity from earthly kings and the pagan nations. But the New Testament reveals a much better deliverance that Jesus provided, a deliverance from the power and the penalty of sin. And this name identifies Jesus as the Messiah. But we know that right through Scripture, the name of Jesus is threaded through the books of the Bible. The next slide, please. In Exodus, right back in the Old Testament, Jesus is known as the Passover Lamb. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord of Hosts. In Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. In 2 Kings, he's the reigning king. In Psalms, the King of Glory. In Jeremiah, the Lord of our righteousness. In Ezekiel, Jesus is the river of life. In Daniel, the Ancient of Days. In Malachi, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. And so it goes on. And into the New Testament, in Matthew, Jesus is the King of the Jews. In John, the Son of God. In Romans, our righteousness. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus is known as the first fruits of the resurrection. In the book of Philippians, the name above every name. In Colossians, Jesus is the preeminent one. In 2 Timothy, the bestower of crowns. In James, the Lord of glory. In 1 Peter, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In 2 Peter, he is the bright and morning star. And in 3 John, Jesus is the truth. In the Revelation, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who the Bible says Jesus is. There is none like him anywhere. He is the anointed one. He is the honored one. He is the fulfillment of all the promises, all the plans, all the types of God that is recorded. What a Savior. And Jesus is here this morning in his risen power, meeting with each one of us. And in glory this morning, he is pleading our cause before the Father's throne. That's his personality. Secondly, his name tells of his provision. Jesus provided a payment. And Peter was preaching about this in these verses, about the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus suffered his death so that we might go free. Jesus paid the sin debt of all mankind. He died on the cross because we are sinners and mankind needs a Savior. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And when Jesus completed his mission on the cross, he was able to lift up his voice and declare that the price had been paid. Secondly, Jesus provided a proof. And our scripture says that Peter then declared the part of the gospel that bothered the Sanhedrin the most. He reminded them that this man who they had killed and buried had come back to life by the power of God. The resurrection was a documented fact. It was true. But Jesus also provided a promise. Peter doesn't actually mention it in these verses, but the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15, where Jesus is called the first fruits of the resurrection. And the first fruits was actually a picture of the fact that something more, something tremendous, was coming afterwards. And in the same manner, when Jesus rose from the dead, his resurrection was a statement that more would follow. And the fact of the matter is that every person who follows Jesus in salvation and dies will one day follow him out of the grave in resurrection. Friends, this is our hope as believers in God. This is that blessed hope that the Bible talks about, that one day we will experience that resurrection. It's that event that the old black preachers called the great getting up morning, when we will come up from the grave, those of us who are not alive at that point. Salvation was what Jesus provided and has provided for all men. He paid the penalty on the cross for our sin. And this morning, there is no other name where we can come and search and seek to find salvation. Salvation is only in his name. And the vital question for every person alive today is, are they trusting Jesus for salvation? Faith in Christ is the only thing that will save the soul of man. And then thirdly, his name provides power. Peter was continuing in his sermon, and he's telling the Sanhedrin that the crippled man at the beautiful gate was healed through the power of the name of Jesus. That same power in the name of Jesus changed other people. We read about the demon-possessed man. We read about the leper. We read about blind Bartimaeus. We read about the thief on the cross. Lazarus experienced the power of the name of Jesus. Paul on the road to Damascus, his conversion experience, met Jesus back in 1975. I asked Jesus to come into my life as I confess my waywardness and my wrongdoing. And the power of Jesus changed my life. My life was transformed. And hopefully you can add your name and date to that list as well. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. And then our fourth point this morning, that his name tells of his preeminence. In verse 11, he is exalted, and Peter refers to Psalm 118, a noted messianic prophecy, and applies it to Jesus, that Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, but actually Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the most important stone of the building. And Peter, of course, is making the case that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one whom God has exalted above all others. His name is above every name. There is no glory greater than the glory of Jesus. He is the preeminent one. He is worthy this morning of all of our praise and all of our worship. He alone is worthy to be exalted. And Peter, in verse 12, he finishes his sermon by reminding that these people need to be saved. There is no other name, he says, whereby men and women can be saved and find salvation. Note the word must be saved. A few weeks ago, Jane and myself had breakfast at Otto. I like my eggs, and my egg choice that morning was called Eggs in Purgatory. The eggs had been cooked for hours. It was a good meal. We don't hear it often these days, but if men and women and boys and girls want to escape the fires of hell and enter into the glory of heaven, they can only do so through none other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes this very clear, that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. In Revelation 20 and 15 it says, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friends, this morning, in conclusion, there is power in the name of Jesus. The men to whom Peter preached were good men as far as their cleanliness of life was concerned, yet spiritually they were lost. They needed to hear what Peter preached to them that day. And you know, the people in Guernsey today need to hear the same message in the days in which we live. The Bible tells that lame man had been lying at the gate for a long time. Peter had probably passed by many times before. Why had that man not been healed previously? Maybe the answer was that God was waiting for the precise time when God would receive most glory. And as Peter passed by, that man's time had come and God received the glory. Maybe for some amongst us this morning, salvation has passed you by previously. But today could be your time. The Lord is calling. He wants to save you. Why not come to Jesus this morning? Call on his name. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I think the most important thing for each person alive today is to experience peace with God. If we lack peace with God, we have a real problem. If God is speaking to you this morning, open up your heart and receive of him. Make your peace with God. There is no other name whereby we must be saved the name of Jesus Christ is a name that we love. It's a name that we cherish, and a name that is very dear to each one of us. May God encourage us in the days in which we live, that we will continue to be ambassadors for him, to stand up for his word, and to encourage others along the way. Amen.
Thank you very much, Nigel. In response to that message, let's